Luke chapter 22, and let me read to you from verse 39 to verse 44. Luke chapter 22, verse 39 to 44. And he came out and went as he was warned to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. How the Lord agonized for us at Gethsemane. Good Friday is one of the holy days of the Christian calendar. Of course, it's also a public holiday. But I pray we do not treat this day as a holiday, but a holy day. Many may take this opportunity of the long weekend to go on vacation, to have a time of physical enjoyment. But it's good for us on Good Friday. And even as we approach Easter Sunday, to keep these days holy, meditating on the Lord and what He had done for us. For this is Holy Week. Not to think of ourselves, but to think of our Savior and how we need to reconsecrate ourselves unto Him, to worship Him and not to forget Him. So it is a time, Good Friday is a time to remember our Lord who suffered and died for our sins. And it's just like what we sang in the very first hymn, and we have come to worship Him, to crown Him. King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget Thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Let us never forget. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. And many of us, how we need Jesus, because we go through a lot of pain and suffering in this world. The world that we live in is a sin-cursed world, full of trouble, full of pain, full of tears. And I know that some of us are going through a lot of pain and tears, whether emotionally or physically. And sometimes we ask, does the Lord understand us? Does the Lord know what we are going through? Can He really help us? He is in heaven and heaven is so far away. We are here on earth. Is He near us? Is He present with us? Can He help me now in time of my need? And dear friends, tonight as we worship Him, as we remember Him, the Lord wants us also to remember that He is our great High Priest. And Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 tells us that He was tested and He was tempted in all points like as we are. He went through all the pain and all the tears and all the sufferings that we also experience here on earth when He was here living with us, walking with us. And He knows our every need and trial and temptation. And He was tempted and tested in all points like as we are, only one exception. Only without sin. He was without sin. The sinless Lamb of God. which taketh away the sin of the world. That's the kind of Savior that we have. And that's why we can come before Him boldly to His throne of grace to obtain help in time of need. And He can not only feel for us, He can feel with us. He sympathizes and empathizes with what we go through in our sufferings, in our pain, in our tears on this earth. And that's why you're here tonight, isn't it? To seek the Lord, to seek His grace, to seek His help in time of need, and to worship Him also, for He is our only Savior. You know, Jesus, how did He save us from our sins? As Hebrews chapter 4 tells us, He was tested and tempted in all points, like as we are. Jesus went through a whole lot of testings. And all these testings that He went through was to save us from our sins. He did not save us from our sins simply and only by dying on the cross. He was doing the work of salvation. Doing the work of saving us from our sins from day one, from the day He was born, until the day He rose from the dead. In the 33 and a half years of life that He lived, it was a life of suffering, filled with many testings and temptations. And He kept the Ten Commandments perfectly for you and for me. And He did not succumb one bit to the temptations of the devil. And truly He was the Lamb that was without spot and blemish at the very end. Our perfect sacrifice, our perfect substitute and representative, dying on a cross, shedding His precious blood for our sins. The blood of men, our blood can help another person through blood transfusions to give physical life. But we need, there's only one blood, and the blood of Jesus Christ that can save us spiritually, not just physically, but spiritually. Save us from our sins. And that is the blood of Christ, which He shed on the cross. And how He suffered for us. And you can ask, how was Jesus tempted and how was Jesus tested in His life here on earth to save us from all these testings? And through all these testings, there were three high points in His life that I want to bring to your attention this evening. How Jesus went through tremendous, intense suffering and testing and trials for you and for me in order to save us from our sins. And the first high point in His life was at the beginning of His ministry. And that was after His baptism. After He was baptized by John. And after His Father had declared, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Because He was a perfectly obedient Son, going through the waters of baptism to identify Himself with us. For He is going to represent sinners. Although He was without sin, He humbly and obediently went through the waters of baptism in obedience to God's commandment to keep the law perfectly for us. And that's why the Father says, "Thou art My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You're such an obedient Son. And then the Holy Spirit came down upon the Lord Jesus to empower Him. And then He was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. So He was tempted in the wilderness. And there He was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And that you can read for yourself in Matthew 4. And the wilderness was a most isolated and deserted place, with very, very harsh and trying conditions. And those of us who have gone into the Holy Land, the pilgrims who have recently gone to the Holy Land, we have seen that wilderness, the Judean desert or wilderness. When we drove from Jericho up to Jerusalem, we drove through the Judean wilderness where the temptation of Jesus occurred. Jesus was in the wilderness, and there He was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And in the desert, there was no food. In the desert, there was no company. He had no friends with him. He was all alone. There was no luxury. He was all alone in such harsh conditions. And in such conditions, he was tested and tempted by the devil. And how in a time of great hunger, Satan tempted him. You are the Son of God, right? You have the power. Turn stone into bread and feed yourself. And surely the temptation was very real as hunger and thirst is to us. Jesus also hungered and thirsted and thirsted in the wilderness. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and in the depths of his hunger, temptation must be very real. How he wanted to satisfy his hunger, he could easily turn stone into bread. But he resisted that temptation with the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And then how Satan took him to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem, set him on a high place, and tempted him. You are the Son of God, cast yourself down. And you know that the angels will come and bear you up. And how the Lord refuted the devil likewise. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then later Satan brought him up to a high mountain. And there he showed the Lord all the kingdoms of the world. And if you will just fall down and worship me, the glory of the world I will give to you. All these kingdoms. The kingdoms of the world. And what did the Lord say? Get thee hence, Satan. Worship the Lord thy God, and you must serve only him. Quoting Deuteronomy 6:13. Yes, Satan tempted Jesus intensely and repeatedly in all these ways in the desert. As he tempts us also today, in like manner, with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Do we not experience such temptations of the devil, the lust of the flesh? Why don't you use corrupt and ungodly means to feed yourself, to make yourself rich and wealthy? Why don't you steal and cheat or bribe and gamble to get rich quick, to become rich? Satan tempts us like this, doesn't he, today? Do we not face such temptations? Surely we do. The lust of the flesh. And how he tempts us also to look at all the things in the world, the glitter and the wealth and the carnal pleasures of the world, the bright lights in the world, all the seductive things. If only you will renounce your faith. Do not follow Christ, because if you are a Christian, you cannot enjoy all these things. Why don't you follow me? And then you can enjoy all these pleasures of the world. Don't you tempt us like this, the lust of the eyes? And why do you need God? Do you really need God? You're strong, you're healthy, you're intelligent. You can make it on your own. Why do you need God? Why do you need religion? Religion is a crutch for the weak. Surely you're not weak. Why do you need religion? You are above all religions. You can make your own religion. You can be your own God. You can trust yourself. Believe only in yourself and what you can do. And you can do it your way. You be the own captain of your life, isn't it? You decide your own destiny and you do it your way. Does not Satan tempt us like this today also? The pride of life? Surely. And it's easy to fall into such sins. To rebel against God and disobey His words. And as Christians, what must we do? How we need to follow the example of the Lord Jesus. Yes, He was tested and tempted in the wilderness, to keep the law perfectly, the commandments of God perfectly for you and for me. And at the same time, He was setting for us a supreme example that we should follow. How we might overcome the temptations of the world and the temptations that Satan put before us. We must read, pray, and grow, eat, drink, and sleep with God's words. Be filled with the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Do we do this? Do we read the Bible? Do we pray every day? Are we growing in our faith? Do we apply God's words in our lives? The only way to overcome Satan is to do that. How not to succumb to the things of the world, to materialism? Jesus tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, the things that you need physically, He will give to you and add even to you, that you will suffer no loss or no lack in what you need to live on this earth. And then also, we need to worship and glorify God and to deny self, take up our cross and follow Him. To worship and glorify God and God alone. And let us never sell our soul to the devil for a piece of worldly muscle. We will regret and we will be miserable for the rest of our lives if we sell our soul to the devil for the pleasures of this world and of this life. And please don't think that we are alone in going through all these temptations and all these testings. Jesus went through them all. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He overcame them. He was tested and tempted in all points, like as we are, and yet without sin. He passed all these tests with flying colors, 100%. He did not fail one bit. We fail many a time, but He did not fail. And we need not fail either. We can also go through all these things successfully and triumphantly only if we follow Him and follow Him closely. We are not alone in all these things. And He knows how to help us in time of need. So Jesus was tested and tempted in the wilderness. And then He was tested and tempted in the garden. In the garden of Gethsemane. And this we read in Luke 22. And here again He was alone, although at this time He brought His disciples with Him, and three disciples who were especially close to Him was nearby, and He urged them to pray for Him and pray with Him. How they failed, isn't it? Peter, James, and John was praying with Him and for Him just a stone's throw away, but in no time they fell asleep. And Jesus was in that garden alone, praying to His Father. How He agonized in the garden. And there was great testing also in the garden. He was in agony. He was in great struggle. He was in a great deal of stress and pressure. And that was because of His impending death. The pain and the suffering that He had to endure when He will be crucified. It's not easy to go through such a cruel death, a death on the cross. And Jesus was not only 100% God, please also understand He was also 100% man. He was flesh and blood. He could feel pain. And there in the garden He prayed and cried to the Lord, let this cup of suffering pass from me. No one likes to go through pain and suffering. And Jesus in His perfect humanity went through that painful struggle too. Agonizing over this fact. And in that garden of Gethsemane, you know, Gethsemane means all prayers. And Gethsemane is a garden that is near the Mount of Olives. Mount of Olives, there are many olive trees on that mount. And this time when we went there, the Mount of Olives is still there, near Jerusalem. across Jerusalem, across the Kidron Valley. And there are many olive trees there still. And if you look at the olive trees, well, they are, you know, the olive trees are very, very hardy trees. They can survive in very, very harsh conditions. And they can survive for many, many years. Hundreds, even thousands of years, according to the guide that we had. Some olive trees can be thousands of years old. And in the bulletin this evening, you have a picture of an olive tree, right? On the third page. And this is a very old olive tree. And you can see that the olive tree has a lot of these twisted branches. And you look at an olive tree, it is as if the olive tree is in agony itself, with all the twisted branches. And surely there's a picture of the agony of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. How he was all twisted also, struggling and writhing in pain, in emotional stress and distress because of the cross that was impending. The pain and the suffering that he had to go through for our sins. And he prayed to the Father, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But he prayed, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And yes, Jesus in his deity would go to the cross for us. He was determined to go to the cross for us, but his humanity was struggling. But he subjected himself to the perfect will of God and went through the cross, the pain of the cross, for you and for me. And he was indeed pressed and squeezed. And Gethsemane, all press, also symbolizes the pressure, the agony, the agonizing pressure the Lord Jesus went through at that time. And you see a picture of an ancient all press in the bulletin, and how the olive fruit will be put in that container, that stone container, and then you have the millstone there that will ground and press and crush the olive fruit so that the oil will flow out. And Jesus was pressed like this, and how he wrestled with the Lord, and how he agonized how he was pressed and squeezed, so much so that he perspired, even as it were, drops of blood. Surely, Jesus suffered for us not only on the cross, he suffered for us at Gethsemane. He was a perfectly obedient son. "Not my will, Father, but thine be done." And it was the Father's will for the Son to go through the cross, that pain and that suffering, to bear our sins on the cross so that we might be saved. So are you in pain, in tears? Are you suffering? Suffering in affliction, whether physical or mental or emotional? Please know that Jesus went through all these sufferings already. That's why he's our great high priest. He knows what we are going through. He understands our needs and our struggles, our agonies and our pains. And many a time we are often pressed. We are pressed, like in an oil press. We are pressed, or oppressed, suppressed, depressed, whatever. Stressed and distressed. Do we go through it alone? Jesus went through it alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. But right now here on earth, when we go through all these things, when we are pressed or pressured, when we suffer all kinds of stress and distress, we are not alone. Jesus went through it alone. And when he even wanted help from his disciples, they couldn't help him very much. They fell asleep. But the Father was good. The angels came to strengthen the Lord. And now when we go through all these stresses, all distresses, all these pressures of life, we are not alone. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who can help us. Never fear, He is near. Keep on praying, the Lord is near, He is nigh. And we come tonight to worship the Lord, to remember Him, to remember that He is near. And we should not fear. In whatever trying circumstances we are in, He is very near to help us. If only we will remember Him and pray to Him and seek His help, come boldly before Him in time of need. Isn't it? And sometimes, you know, when we are down and out, and sometimes we have to minister to others because of their trials and their difficulties, their pain and suffering. Sometimes I personally do not know what to say to comfort or encourage or strengthen a fellow brother or sister in Christ going through great trials and testings, pain and suffering. Because human words are so empty, isn't it? Human words are so weak. But we thank God. And we have a Savior who really knows how to comfort us, how to encourage us, and how to meet our needs in such times. And He will minister to us through His words. And when we pray to Him. And we should pray for one another. And so Jesus was tempted and tested not just in the wilderness, not just in the garden, but He was also tested and tempted, the highest point of His testing was on the hill, on Calvary. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And yes, at Calvary or Golgotha, a place of a skull, there the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the tree, made a curse for us, bearing our sins on the cross, and how He bled. Crucifixion is a most painful and cruel way to die, where a man would bleed slowly to death. And Jesus bore all that pain and suffering for us, not just physically, but also spiritually, for He bore the curse of our sin. He bore our sins on the cross. He was our substitute. He paid the price, for the wages of sin is death. He died for us as our substitute. And He was there also, alone, on the cross. He was there alone. The Father, God the Father could not die for our sins. He is Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is also Spirit. It is only God the Son who became man, who came in the flesh, who could be nailed to the cross to shed His precious blood for our sins. And He was there alone. He died alone. And that's why on the cross He cried out in agony, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Many times we go through suffering, we are not alone. We have our family members to help us, our friends, church members. We have the Lord Himself. But Jesus on the cross had no one. He was all alone. And He suffered and bled and died for us. And how often we complain, isn't it? We murmur and complain. How I'm suffering in this life. And sometimes we even blame God. God, you're so unfair. There's so much injustice. Why are such things happening to me? Why me? Sometimes we complain when we go through trials and testings in life. But consider what the Lord Jesus had gone through for us without any complaint, without any murmuring. And He need not go through all these things because are we truly worthy to be saved? We don't deserve to be saved. We who are sinners, who have rebelled against Him. We only deserve His punishment, His judgment, His condemnation, eternal damnation in hell. God need not come down to die for us on the cross. But He did. Without any complaint, without any murmuring. How I often feel so ashamed of myself when I grumble and murmur and complain against God. Why do we murmur and grumble and complain? It's because we forget our Savior. We are so self-absorbed. How we must turn to Him and remember Him, what He has done for us. Then all our sufferings are just like pinpricks, so little compared to what the Lord had gone through for us. And how can we not just endure this little suffering, this tiny and slight affliction for Him and for His sake? Surely we can. To bear our own cross, right? To follow Him. And Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Surely it is, because we can cast all our cares, all our burdens on Him. And He knows how to help us in time of need. And He will not allow us to be tempted beyond our ability, but will always what? Provide a way of escape, you see. Many times we forget. When we forget God, then we sin with our lips. We complain and murmur against Him, and grumble against Him, and even blame Him. May we not do that. Whenever we are tempted to do this, please think of our Savior, what He went through in the wilderness, in the garden, on the hill, at Calvary, without any complaint, any grumbling at all. As a lamb that was led to the slaughter, He openeth not His mouth. Silently, willingly, lovingly, He went to the cross, nailed to that tree, shedding His precious blood, suffering for us, to save us, undeserving people, to save us from our sins, that we might be forgiven. And even on the cross, was He not tempted? They ridiculed Him, they mocked at Him, they taunted Him. You are the Son of God, you come down from the cross, and we'll believe on you. Was Jesus able to do that, come down from the cross? Surely He could, but He didn't. And yet He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The Lord could even command His angels to come down and slay all of these who had crucified Him. And we might as well be there to be slain by His holy indignation and righteousness. But no, He came. He came to save us from our sins, and He willingly and lovingly died for us. How we must also endure all afflictions, trials and testings in our life for the sake of Christ. And God has a good purpose for allowing us to be afflicted, so that we might continually depend on Him and grow in our faith and bear good witness and testimony for Him. In times of affliction, we can still delight in Him and rejoice in Him and testify for Him and praise His name. And the Lord will grant us the victory. Let us have the heart of the Lord, the heart and mind of our Lord and Savior. And if this Good Friday we can appreciate this, what the Lord had gone through for us, and to have the heart and mind of our Savior, then we would have learned a precious lesson indeed. And Jesus died on the cross, and He was buried, but on the third day, that's the most important point, on the third day He rose from the dead. There is glory in the cross. He rose from the dead, and is now sitting at the right hand of God, now sitting on the throne of grace, now as our great high priest, and now we can come boldly before Him to seek His help in time of need. And He knows how to help us. Please don't say, God cannot understand me. He understands us through and through. Sometimes we cannot understand each other. I may not understand what you're going through in your pain and suffering because I may not have gone through what you're going through. And you may not understand what I'm going through because there are many, many different types of trials and testings, but the Lord knows every one of them. He knows. And you can only trust in Him. And you will experience Him when you trust in Him, you pray to Him, you read His words, you obey Him. You will experience the kind of strength and power and grace and joy and peace and love that He will pour down on you and fill you so that you have this supernatural strength to ride the storm. For He calms the storm and you will have victory in Him. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, teach us, O Lord, the way of Christ. And we thank Thee for His death on the cross, according to the Scriptures, how He died. He was buried. On the third day He rose from the dead for our sins. Help us never to forget this, Lord, as we partake of the bread and the cup. Remind us, O Lord, remind us. Have mercy on us, sinners. And help us to trust in the Lord Jesus and Him alone. Those yet to believe on the Lord Jesus, O Lord, we pray, You may convict and convert their hearts tonight, that they will confess their sins and cry out for mercy from Thee to save them from the judgment to come. We pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.